You know that very specific feeling when you finish like an hour-long, highly nuanced strategy meeting, and the built-in Zoom or Teams AI summary just pops up in your inbox?
Oh, yeah, the dreaded automatic recap.
Right. And you open it, hoping for a really concise breakdown of that brilliant pivot you suggested, but instead, it reads like an intern who fell asleep halfway through and just started guessing using corporate buzzwords.
Right. It's all the team discussed synergy and actionable deliverables moving forward.
Exactly. It is formulaic filler with zero actual insight.
It's basically the equivalent of reading a horoscope for your project management software. You know, it applies to everything and nothing all at once.
Yeah, and because that built-in experience is so frustrating, people are actively fleeing toward premium alternatives, which brings us directly to our mission today on this deep dive.
And it is a fascinating one.
Yeah, we are exploring this hands-on blog post from May 2026. A developer basically locked themselves in a room for a night to survey every single open-source local AI meeting recorder available on GitHub.
Just a complete deep dive into the ecosystem.
Right. And our goal for you, the listener, is to figure out how to escape that trap of terrible native meeting AI, avoid massively expensive software subscriptions, and hopefully learn how to run a totally private, really powerful meeting assistant right on your laptop.
It's an incredibly timely mission. I mean, the frustration with native tools has created this booming market for premium apps. You know, tools like Granola, Crisp, Otter, Firefly.
Yeah, they're everywhere right now.
They are. And, I mean, we have to give credit where it's due. The user experience on these premium platforms is exceptional.
Oh, absolutely. The source specifically points to Granola's design as being somewhat brilliant because their whole philosophy isn't to replace you, it's to augment you.
Right, they work with your existing habits.
Yeah, you take your normal, messy, half-finished human notes during the meeting, and their AI just silently runs in the background. Then when you're done, it upgrades your notes, structures them, and fills in the gaps you missed while you were talking.
It's a beautiful workflow.
It really is. But then you hit the pricing page.
Ah, yes, the catch.
You are looking at roughly $20 a month for these services. So $200 per person per year. If you have a five-person team, that's $1,000 annually just to retain a memory of what happened on Tuesday.
And the financial cost is steep, sure, but it's arguably not even the heaviest price.
Right, the privacy aspect.
Exactly. For anyone handling sensitive client data or, you know, unannounced product pivots, confidential strategy, the real cost is data ownership.
Because it's all going to the cloud.
By using those cloud-based tools, every single brainstorm is packaged up and shipped off your machine to someone else's servers for processing.
And they always have those little compliance badges, right?
Yeah, they might flash compliance badges or promise they aren't training future models on your data, but the fundamental reality remains the same. Your private conversations are leaving your laptop.
And honestly, if you're already paying for a Google Workspace or a Notion AI subscription, adding a dedicated meeting note subscription on top of that just feels totally redundant.
Subscription fatigue.
Yeah. You naturally start to wonder if there's a way to just do this on your own Mac, process it locally, and keep your data locked down. So,
Okay.
okay, let's unpack this. Because the core realization from our source material is that building a meeting recorder is not some highly guarded proprietary magic.
Not at all.
It is fundamentally just assembling three basic commoditized Lego pieces.
I love that analogy. It is the perfect visualization. Three simple Lego pieces that anyone can snap together.
See, I'm going to push back on that a bit.
Oh.
Yeah, when I look at SaaS companies charging millions of dollars a year across their user base, it feels like they must be employing a fleet of engineers doing incredibly complex bespoke coding.
You'd think so, right?
Yeah. You're telling me it's that simple. It feels like we are paying $20 for a boxed Peak Mix, and this developer is telling us the flour, the sugar, and the eggs are just sitting in our pantry for pennies.
Your cake mix analogy hits the nail on the head, actually. Yeah, they are absolutely just selling you a very nicely printed box. If we look at the raw ingredients, Lego piece number one is audio capture.
Okay, grabbing the sound.
Right. You have to grab the system audio, which is what the other people on the call are saying, and you also have to grab your own microphone input.
Which sounds easy, but historically, macOS has absolutely hated letting you do that.
Oh, historically, it was a nightmare. Apple's security model just didn't want apps silently recording system audio. It's a huge privacy risk if done wrong.
Right, obviously.
So developers had to use virtual audio drivers, And the most famous one was called Black Hole.
Oh, I remember Black Hole.
Yeah, to use your cake analogy, Black Hole was like having to install physical plumbing in your kitchen just to get water to the bowl.
Yeah.
You had to virtually route your speaker output back into a fake microphone input.
It was so clunky.
It really was.
Yeah.
And if you uninstalled it wrong, your Mac speakers would just stop working entirely.
Definitely not a consumer-friendly experience.
Not at all.
Yeah.
But recently, Apple modernized this entire pipeline. They introduced native frameworks like Screen Capture Kit.
Oh, so building it right into the operating system.
Exactly. And for newer projects on macOS 14.2 and up, there's an API called CatApp Description.
Okay, what does that mean in plain English?
In plain English, it means an app can now just place a clean native tap directly on the audio source. No weird third-party drivers, no routing nightmares. It just works.
Wow. That eliminates a massive technical hurdle right there. Okay, so that's piece number one, getting the audio cleanly. What's the second piece?
Piece number two is speech to text, usually abbreviated as STT.
Turning the audio into actual words.
Right, it's the engine that turns the raw audio wave into written text. And this entire sector has been completely commoditized over the last few years.
Really? Just out there for free.
Yeah, you have these powerful open source models like OpenAI's Whisper, NVIDIA's Parakeet, and Alibaba's Qwen 3 ASR.
But wait, don't those models require massive server farms to run? I remember when transcription used to take like an hour for every hour of audio, and it would just melt your laptop's battery in the process.
That used to be true, absolutely. But the hardware caught up.
Oh, the new chips.
Yes. Modern Macs have the Apple Neural Engine built right into their silicon. It's a dedicated chip designed specifically for this kind of AI math.
So they don't even stress the main processor.
Exactly. So these open source models can now run natively on your local hardware. They transcribe at near real-time speeds with commercial-grade accuracy. And they do it efficiently enough that your laptop fans won't even spin up.
Flour and sugar. Incredible. Okay, so we have the audio and we've turned it into this massive wall of text, but an hour-long transcript is basically unreadable on its own.
It's just a block of text, yeah.
I'm assuming the third Lego piece is the actual brain, right? The AI that turns that transcript into the summary.
Precisely. Summarization is the third piece. Once you have the raw text, you hand it to a large language model.
And how do we do that locally?
Well, you have two routes here. If you want a completely offline, air-gapped system, you run a local LLM on your machine using a tool like a Llama.
Oh, so it's literally running an AI brain on your hard drive.
Exactly. But local models can sometimes be a bit.
Dense compared to the heavy hitters like ChatGPT.
Yeah, they can be a bit dense. Which is why the alternative is the BYOK method, bring your own key.
Okay, how does that work?
You just ping the API for Claude, ChatGPT, or Gemini directly. You send them the text file, and because it's just a simple text file, it costs fractions of a cent to process.
So you're not paying $20 a month, you're paying pennies per meeting.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's the core loop. Grab the audio natively, turn it into text on the neural engine, and hand it to an LLM to summarize. But if I read the source right, there is an optional fourth piece that actually makes the notes useful.
Yes, there is. The fourth piece is speaker diarization.
Diarization.
Right, that is the technical term for figuring out who is speaking at any given millisecond.
Which is crucial, right? Because without that, the transcript just looks like one schizophrenic person talking to themselves for an hour.
Exactly. And doing this locally is surprisingly tricky.
Yeah.
I mean, think about a Zoom call. Audio is compressed, people have different microphones, network lag causes voices to distort.
People talking over each other.
Right. But even this problem has an off-the-shelf open-source solution now. There's a library called Fluid Audio.
Fluid Audio.
Yeah, if we think of your audio stream as a crowded club, Fluid Audio acts like an incredibly perceptive bouncer.
Oh, I like that.
It analyzes the acoustic properties of a voice, you know, the pitch, the cadence, and it creates a mathematical fingerprint for each person.
So it knows when you're talking versus when I'm talking.
Right. It can accurately track when someone starts and stops talking. And could even recognize that same person if they join a completely different meeting a week later.
That is wild.
What's fascinating here is that every single one of these complex, seemingly magical engineering feats has multiple highly robust open source implementations just sitting out there waiting to be used.
Which perfectly explains why our developer didn't just find one or two alternatives on GitHub. Since the ingredients are freely available, it makes total sense that the platform is absolutely flooded with developers racing to assemble them.
The ecosystem is exploding right now.
Yeah, and the source actually categorizes this constellation of projects not by their popularity, but by how close they are to being a finished, consumer-ready product. They start with the educational toys. There's one called Notes for Me, which only has 8 stars on GitHub.
Yeah, Notes for Me is what the developer calls the textbook reference minimum loop. It is completely bare metal. It uses an Electron shell to run the app.
Let me stop you there, actually, because Electron shell gets thrown around as an insult in tech circles a lot.
It really does.
For the listener, an Electron app basically means the developer didn't write a native Mac application. They essentially built a website and wrapped an entire heavy Google Chrome web browser around it just to run it on your desktop, which is why they are notorious memory hogs, right?
That's a great way to put it. It's incredibly inefficient. So Notes for Me uses that heavy Electron shell. It forces you to use the clunky black hole virtual audio driver. It uses basic whisper.cpp for text. And Llama for the summary.
The developer points out that the Notes for Me instruction manual is brutally honest, too.
Oh, yeah. It warns you right up front.
It basically warns you that macOS hates capturing system audio, so you have to install Black Hole and then manually configure the Audio MIDI setup utility.
Yeah.
And I have to say, if you are a normal user and you open the Audio MIDI setup on a Mac, you are going to close it immediately.
It is not for the faint of heart.
It looks like the control panel of a 1980s Soviet submarine. It is just this massive wall of confusing sliders and channels.
It's extremely intimidating. And on top of that, Notes for Me doesn't even capture your own microphone, just the system audio.
Wait, really?
Yeah, and it has no real-time transcription and absolutely no speaker diarization.
So it's basically a terrible daily driver.
It is awful for daily use, but it is a brilliant educational tool.
Because it forces you to see the plumbing.
Exactly. If you want to understand how the plumbing actually connects, Notes for Me's code is the cleanest, simplest template. You install that black hole driver once, you experience the pain of manually routing virtual cables in that submarine control panel, and you instantly understand why all the modern projects are desperately moving to Apple's native screen capture kit.
It's like a rite of passage.
Exactly.
Okay, so then we move a step up to projects like Parrot, which has 3 stars, and Recap, which has over 700 stars. These attempt to be more native to the Mac experience, right?
Right, they're trying to solve the UI problem.
Parrot manages to grab the mic and system audio without needing Black Hole, but it has fatal logic flaws. The creator actually admits their speaker diarization is, quote, embarrassingly basic.
Yeah, that was a funny admission.
It literally just listens for silence, and when the silence stops, it assumes a new person is talking.
Which is fine if it's a perfectly polite, turn-based conversation between exactly 2 people.
Like a chess match.
Right. But add a third person, or have someone interrupt with a yeah or a laugh, and the entire system just falls apart completely.
And what about Recap?
Recap is an interesting case study. It was written in pure Swift, which means it was incredibly lightweight and native to the Mac. It could even auto-detect when you launched Zoom or Teams and start recording automatically.
That sounds amazing.
It does. But if you look at it today, it's virtually abandoned. The code repository literally says, broken in current state, do not use.
Okay, I have to ask then, if these projects are deeply flawed, crash constantly, or are completely abandoned, why do they even matter to the listener? Why did the author spend time analyzing them?
Because they validate the architecture. Think of them like the Wright brothers' early flyers.
Oh.
They were fragile, they crashed constantly, and you wouldn't want to commute in one. But they proved the underlying physics worked. These early projects prove that you could assemble these Lego pieces natively on a Mac using Apple Silicon without those clunky third-party hacks.
They proved it was possible.
Right. They laid the groundwork for the heavy hitters that actually can replace your $200 subscription.
The Wright brothers of meeting notes. I like that. So let's graduate from the experimental flyers to the commercial jets. The tools you could genuinely install today to get real work done.
The ones you'd actually want to use.
Yeah. The source highlights a few major contenders, and instead of just listing them, let's look at them based on what a user actually wants. So if you are a user who loves that granola experience where the AI just silently organizes everything into neat files, you'd probably look at AnarLog. It has over 8,000 stars.
Yeah, AnarLog is very close to that premium experience. It handles the transcription locally, it lets you bring your own API key for the LLM summary, and it saves everything as Markdown files right on your local drive.
And for anyone unfamiliar, Markdown is just a super lightweight text format. It means your notes aren't locked in some proprietary database. They're just simple text files you can open with anything 10 years from now.
Exactly. It's totally future-proof.
Yeah.
But AnarLog has a momentum problem.
How so?
The team behind it is pivoting to build a different product. It's open source, So the code isn't disappearing, but the active development energy has moved on. If you want a tool that's getting better every week, Analog is just in an awkward spot right now.
Got it. So if you want something with momentum, something that feels like a polished product you can just install and trust, where do you go? That brings us to Meetly, which boasts almost 12,000 stars on GitHub.
Yes. Meetly is currently the safest bet for the average user. It is built to be a consumer product, not a developer experiment. It has a one-click installer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you don't have to touch Xcode. You don't have to look at the audio MIDI setup.
The pre-baked cake.
Precisely. And technologically, it's very robust. It utilizes GPU acceleration.
Meaning, instead of forcing the computer's central processor, the CPU, to do all the heavy lifting one task at a time, it hands the massive mathematical workload of audio processing over to the graphics card.
Right, which is designed to do thousands of simple calculations simultaneously.
Yeah.
And because of that acceleration, Meetly can run a dual engine setup. It runs NVIDIA's Parakeet model and OpenAI's Whisper model at the exact same time.
Wait, two models at once? Why?
They pipeline the audio, essentially slicing the incoming audio into overlapping chunks. Parakeet handles rapid initial transcription passes, while Whisper cleans up the complex contexts and timestamps simultaneously.
That sounds incredibly fast.
They claim this makes the transcription four times faster than running a standard model alone.
Yeah.
And crucially, it is a completely free, forever community edition.
That's incredible. But the project I am genuinely geeking out over from the article isn't just a recorder. It's a completely different paradigm. It's called Open Whisper, with a bit over 3,000 stars.
Oh, Open Whisper is fascinating.
Yeah, it fuses a global hotkey dictation tool, like if you just want to dictate a fast email with a full meeting transcriber. But the kicker is it ships with a built-in MCP server.
That feature alone is a massive leap forward in utility.
Let's break down MCP because it sounds intimidating. It stands for Model Context Protocol. Think of it as a standardized bridge or like a universal translator between your local files and an AI assistant.
It essentially solves the copy-paste problem.
Right.
Normally, if the twist.
Yeah. With all these massive projects out there, you know, 12,000 stars, dual engine pipelining, MCP bridges, the developer's ultimate personal pick for a daily driver is a project called Passroom/Meeting Transcriber.
Yes.
It has 19 stars on GitHub. 19. It is virtually invisible. Why on earth is a 19-star repository outperforming these well-funded giants for the author?
It really comes down to the difference between general popularity and solving a highly specific technical constraint. Stars on GitHub measure mass appeal. But this tiny 19-star project offers ultimate architectural choice.
What do you mean?
It allows you to hot swap the actual transcription engine on the fly based on your current meeting.
Why would you need to do that, though?
Because different models have different strengths. Whisper is incredible because it supports 99 languages.
Oh.
Parakeet is lightning fast and highly accurate for European languages. But the developer chose this specific tool because it allows them to plug in Qwen 3 ASR.
Okay, what is Qwen 3 ASR good at?
It has phenomenal accuracy for Chinese.
Ah, because the developer's specific use case involves heavily mixed English and Chinese transcription in the exact same meetings.
Exactly.
But does that actually work smoothly? I would imagine an AI model would lag or just hallucinate if you switch phonetic structures mid-sentence.
And traditional models do struggle immensely with context switching. They try to apply English phonetic tokenization to Mandarin audio, and it just outputs gibberish.
Makes sense.
But Qwen 3 ASR was trained specifically on massive data sets of multilingual code switching. It identifies the language shift at the token level almost instantly.
Wow.
So this tiny 19-star project is actively maintained. It skips the clunky audio drivers, and it perfectly accommodates that exact complex linguistic need on an Apple Silicon Mac. It really proves that in the open source ecosystem, the best tool isn't the one with the best marketing. It's the one that perfectly fits your exact constraint.
That is such a good point. So we have journeyed from realizing the core ingredients are free, to looking at the educational toys, to exploring these incredibly robust, feature-rich tools that run entirely on your local machine.
We've covered a lot of ground.
So what does this all mean for the industry? Are the granola and crisp subscriptions just a total ripoff?
Well, I wouldn't use the term ripoff because it implies deception and they aren't hiding anything. They offer a gorgeous, seamless user experience. But the source material delivers a very blunt, very critical insight here. Transcription and summarization currently possess absolutely no technical moat.
A zero moat business.
Completely. Think about the components, the AI models, freely available open source, the system APIs to cleanly capture audio, built right into McKeon's and Windows.
The diarization library is also open source?
Exactly. The language model is doing the summarizing. Either open source or incredibly cheap via an API. Those premium SaaS companies are not selling you groundbreaking proprietary technology. They are selling you packaging.
Going back to the cake mix, they are selling the cardboard box and the instructions on the back.
Precisely. They are charging what the author aptly calls a friction fee.
A friction fee.
Yeah, you are paying them $200 a year because they navigated the complex audio routing so you didn't have to. You are paying them because they set up the API accounts with Anthropic, so you didn't have to manage billing limits. You are paying a premium just to avoid the friction of setup.
But historically, open source has terrible user experience, which kind of justified that friction fee. But as we just discussed, tools like Meetly have one-click installers now. The friction is vanishing.
It is. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, we are watching the inevitable four-step life cycle of any technology that is trivially simple to build and has universal demand.
Okay, what are the steps?
Step one, a clever startup figures out the packaging and charges a premium for it. Step two, the open source community isolates the Lego pieces and replicates the core functionality. Step three, developers smooth out the open source user experience, totally flattening the friction fee.
Which means step four is?
Step four is demotion. The technology simply becomes a native operating system feature.
Wow.
We saw this with the iPhone flashlight. People used to pay the $1.99 for a flashlight app. Now it's just a toggle in the control center. Apple already have voice memos. Apple Notes already has basic live transcription. It is only a matter of time before perfectly localized AI-summarized meeting recording is just a default toggle switch built right into your Mac or PC.
So the closed-source window for these companies to charge hundreds of dollars a year is rapidly closing.
Very rapidly.
That is a staggering shift in market dynamics. So for you, the listener, the immediate takeaway is incredibly empowering. You do not have to surrender your team's unpolished brainstorms or your company's sensitive strategic data to a cloud server just to get a good meeting summary.
And you certainly don't need to burn thousands of dollars a year for the privilege.
Right. The tools are here. They run locally. They leverage the hardware you already own. And installing them is quickly becoming as simple as downloading a regular app.
It is deeply empowering. But, you know, it also raises a profound question. One that isn't actually explored in the source, but is kind of the logical endpoint of making this technology universally accessible.
Oh, what's the blind spot here?
Well, if the technology to perfectly record, flawlessly transcribe, and instantly AI summarize every conversation becomes totally frictionless, completely private, and entirely free, how does that alter human behavior?
What do you mean?
If you walk into a meeting knowing that every single word you say, every half-baked pitch, every slightly off-base comment is instantly becoming perfectly searchable, structured text data sitting on your coworkers' local hard drives, will we stop brainstorming out loud?
Oh, wow.
If the technological friction of taking notes disappears entirely, do we accidentally create a massive psychological friction in how freely and openly we speak to one another?
That is a chilling point. We might solve the corporate word salad problem, but in the process, we accidentally build a perfect digital panopticon in every single status update. We stop speaking freely because we know the AI is always listening and recording permanently.
It's something to think about.
On that incredibly thought-provoking note, we want to warmly thank you, the listener, for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the tools you use every day. Keep exploring the open source alternatives, and we'll catch you on the next one.